today on Anchored in the Word.
The devil's doing anything he can to try and make you think that this is not the way to go, that Christianity isn't the way, you know, but that's a lie. It's not the easy way. It really isn't. It isn't the easy way. It's not an easy way, but it is the way, and God's promised to be with us all the way, the whole way, and the road ends with a happy ending. And God is into happy endings, and He wants you to have a happy ending. That's His desire for you.
But I'm anchored deep in your clean love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. As you were probably quick to discover, the Christian life isn't as easy as some might make it out to be. With the enemy constantly attacking and the hostility of non-believers, you've probably found yourself discouraged at times. In today's message, Pastor Bill seeks to encourage you by reflecting on the promise of God that He'll always be with you as you continue in the faith. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill in Acts chapter 11 with part two of his message, What Does It Mean to Be Called a Christian?
He's one that will never let you down. You can fully trust Him. And as you go through the Word, you'll learn that. You know, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. And so there is a believing, and then there's a turning from. Now, I'm not saying that you have to fix yourself when you turn. I'm not saying, you know, you've been doing some bad things. Now you just got to, here's the book of good things, and we have to start doing everything in it. There's some truth to that, but the idea is you just have to make up your mind that you're going to turn, and Jesus is going to take you by the hand and walk you down the path. He's going to show you. He's going to give you everything you need, not just instruction. He's going to give you the power by His Holy Spirit to then have victory, to walk in the things that He calls you to do. That's amazing. The privilege of being a Christian. He's given you everything you need, but you have to make up your mind. That's what you have to do that on your own. You make up your mind. There is a part of this where we're not puppets. None of us are puppets. We have been made in the image of God, and we can make up our own minds. We can choose what we want to do or what we want to believe. Now, so point number one, how do you become a Christian? Believing and turning is how one becomes a Christian. Now, we'll pick it up in verse 22, and I'll read through to 23. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. 300 miles north of Jerusalem is Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue in the Lord. Listen, if you're a Christian, the word to us in the Word is continue in the Lord. Continue in the Lord. In other words, it's a daily. Well, I've been a Christian for 30 years. Okay, what's happening today? Because we only really have today. The last 30 years of your life is really kind of gone, if you know what I mean. And great if you walk in Christ, I can guarantee you, you had a lot less negative things happen in the sense of, you know, my life is, but most of my stuff was self-inflicted. But when you walk with God, yeah, there's tribulations and trials, but it's the better route. It may be the narrow path, but it's definitely the better path. But what he was saying was, the encouragement was, as Barnabas comes on the scene, this guy was an encourager, and he sees these people coming to Christ, God changing lives, and he's glad. And aren't you? When you see people come to Jesus, when you see them repent and turn, and you're like, man, that's does it get any better than that? You know, yeah, you get your salvation, but then you see someone else get saved, and he was all excited. And so the word that he told them was, hey, continue in the things of the Lord, to continue in the ways of the Lord. Now, I want you to see that regarding this idea of continuing, it's not how you start, it's how you finish that really matters, right? That's really what matters. I want to read to you Colossians 1, 19 through 23. Colossians 1, 19 through 23. considering this idea. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And I want you just to see 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. The idea of continuing in the faith, to take another step, another day. You know, the devil's doing anything he can to try and make you think that this is not the way to go, that Christianity isn't the way, you know, but that's a lie. It's not the easy way. It really isn't. It isn't the easy way. It's not the easy way, but it is the way, and God's promised to be with us all the way, the whole way, and the road ends with a happy ending. And God is into happy endings, and he wants you to have a happy ending. That's his desire for you. But if you continue in the faith, this idea of continuing, it says in 1 John chapter 5, that these things I have written to you, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God, and you may continue to believe. So this idea is important, that you continue to believe. Listen, the world, your flesh, the devil, those three entities are coming against this idea of walking with Christ. And sometimes as you're going through trials, and I guess that's what happens to people, they give up on God. Now, the good news is he doesn't give up on you. He never gives up on you. And I don't know the percentage of how much of it is us. I know that God's the keeping God and he gives us his spirit and all these things. But I know we have a part to play in it, because I can still choose what I want to choose. The good news is this, in this idea of continuing. Let's read down a verse. Go back to Acts chapter 11. And this idea of continuing, because you think, oh no, we just got to kind of maintain, you know. No, it's not like that. God's taking care of all the details. All right? Listen, we need to continue, but the question is, how do we do that, right? That's a good question. How does one continue? Well, we'll pick it up in verse 24. Now, this is speaking about Barnabas. For he was a good man. You're thinking, well, how in the world was he a good man? Full of the Holy Spirit. That's why he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Listen, this is the thing about Christianity. This is what it is. It is God living in you. And he transforms you, your personality. You don't get rid of your personality. That's still you. And he transformed this human being into a person that he wasn't before. And it's God-like in the sense that we're Christ-like. Hence the word Christian. We become like Christ. That's what's happening to us. We're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. He does this by having the Holy Spirit living in us. And John 14, 16 and 17 talks about this concept. John 14, 16 and 17, Jesus is praying and he says, the Spirit who is alongside of you, but he will be in you. So this idea of Christ in us, the hope of glory, it's an amazing thing. We invite Christ to come into our lives. When I turn, I believe in him and I turn and I've turned to him and I invite him to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. And so this idea of the Holy Spirit, he's the keeping God. He's the comforter. He's the one that shows me when I'm going off the path. He lovingly shows me, don't go there. Don't go there. He'll put roadblocks up in the way. Stop, you know, come back here. And eventually, if we keep going that way, we'll end up, you know, God will chastise us to bring us back. So there's the keeping power of God in the process. Very important. God is the keeping God because he loves us. And so he's the keeping God. Now, let's pick it up in verse 25. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. Remember, Saul of Tarsus had gone back to Tarsus after he got saved. He went back there for a number of years. And now Barnabas gets the idea, okay, there's a lot going on in Antioch. I'm going to go get Paul, which Tarsus was a little bit farther away, but it's closer than Jerusalem. He's going to go get Saul and bring him back to Antioch, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, the disciples. Now, I want you to see this point number four. We've got, you know, how to come to the faith, continue in the faith, and then Christians have the Holy Spirit. And number four, Christians are students of the word. It says that they taught a great many people for a whole year. And here's the thing about Christianity. And if you don't have this, will you just cry out to God that you have an appetite for his word? Because you're taking and you're eating certain things, and I'm talking about spiritually now. You are eating certain things. At the beginning of the service, you heard me come out and remember when that little thing went off and that song came to my mind? That's because I ate something a number of years ago. I ate it and it came out. I can't, to be honest with you, it amazes me. That's got to be over 30 years old or longer. But see, when you take stuff in, it's there. You know, it's there. And the good news is about God, by the way, he can restore what the locust has eaten. The good news is a lot of the stuff gets purged, okay? When you're taking new stuff in, the good stuff in, I guess the hard drive, some of the stuff gets pushed out, which is good, right? Which is really, really good. But this idea of being a student of the word is important for a disciple, for a Christian. There's no escaping it. If you want to grow, you must be a student of the word. You must be a student of the word if you want to grow. It's so important. That's the reason we teach the Bible. And we just, you know, we're going through the Bible. And eventually, if the Lord tarries, then we will get through the whole Bible. But it needs to be more than, the hope is that somewhere along, I call this the Bible bus. I know I didn't originate that term, but you get on the Bible bus and eventually you're going to get an appetite for the things of the word and you're going to be a student of the word on your own time. That's the hope that we have. Because if you're only studying, you know, 35, 40 minutes a week on Sunday morning, you're not going to grow. It's better than not, but you're not going to grow. The hope is that you will get an appetite for the things of the word. So a Christian needs to be a student of the word. It's like a snowball effect. You know, you start off this, it's little, you get an appetite and you start just a little bit and, you know, it starts going down the hill. And next thing you know, you get this thing rolling down the hill, man. And you're just, what do we read the Bible for? Become smarter sinners so we can tell our friends about how much we know about the Bible? And no, when we go to the word, we're going to know who Christ is, who Jesus is. And that's where I know the Bible says that in Hebrews, it says in times past, God made himself known through the prophets and through, but in these last days, he's made himself known through his son, Jesus, who we find out if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. And so being a student of the word is the purpose of that is to come to know Christ. He's transforming us by the renewing of our minds. And this word, this Bible that we have is a huge part of it. And if you don't have an appetite for the word and ask the Lord, say, Lord, I don't read my Bible. I'd rather do this, that, or the other. That's the reality, Lord. I mean, he already knows that about you. Don't try and pretend you can do that around other Christians or around other people. Pretend you're somebody you're not, right? But you can't do that with God because he knows it. But just be honest and say, Lord, will you give me an appetite for your word? I want to grow. I want to grow. Lord, give me an appetite. I will guarantee you he will answer that prayer every time because that's his will for you. He wants you to grow in his word. He wants you to be a student of the word. And so 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look, when you get to heaven, we don't want you to be like you just fell off the turnip truck. Oh, I don't know. What's this place all about here, you know? We want you to be in the word. So when you get there, pretty much there won't be a whole lot of surprises. Oh, there will be some, I guarantee you. But you will realize that, oh, and the stuff that didn't make sense now, it's all going to come together and it's like, boom, like it's all going to fit, like, wow. But before you get there, it's a good time now to take our time while we're here and to be diligent students of the word. Now, so as we read down, so they were called Christians for the first time in Antioch. And in these days, verse 27, the prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world. He was a prophet, and he was, you know, showing them things that were yet future, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. The prophecy came, and how do you prove prophecy? It must come to pass. And that's what happened. There was a famine, but I want you to see what God used in the famine. 29, and this is, again, what does it mean to be called a Christian? Look at this. Last point, it says, then the disciples, the Christians, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. They were a giving people. They were less selfish. And that's a nice way of putting it. But see, when you're living your own life, when you're living in your own beliefs, you are the center of your universe, the universe in your own life if you're a non-Christian. And people maybe don't realize that, but when you come to Christ, now you're putting your hope in him, and you look at him as, you know, Jesus is not all about himself. Think about it. He came to this earth and gave up whatever he gave up in heaven. And I got to tell you something. He gave something up, I believe. Yeah, he went back to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father now. But I got to tell you something. There's some descriptions of him in Revelation. He is, we can see him, the lamb that was slain, you know, somehow. I mean, his appearance. And I believe it's more than just some wounds that he has. I believe that somehow, and I don't understand the whole thing yet, but that not only did Jesus give up his 33 years there, there was something that he gave up with the Father that's going to be eternal. Now, I can't prove what that is. I don't know. I just know there's a sense of, because if you think about it, oh, Jesus, he came down and he died, but then he's back in heaven. I mean, think about it. He ascended and, you know, he resurrected and there you go. And he's fine now. And there's no results. There's nothing other than he saved the world. But you see what I'm getting at? No, I think it cost him something. And, you know, love costs, doesn't it? I mean, that kind of love really does cost, doesn't it? And agape costs. And I would say to you that Jesus is not self-centered. He came and died for you, for others. And as a matter of fact, not just for people that loved him, not just people that were caring about God, he died for those that hated him. Think about that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, he died for the sins of the world. Even the people that were rejecting him, they were his creation. He died for them. But I want you to see that we are being remade in the image of Christ. And these disciples, it says, each according to his ability, whatever they could do, whatever they were able to do, whatever they could do, they were willing to do. It says, determined to send relief to the brethren. There were people hurting. They heard it with them. It says, the Bible says about Christians is that we rejoice with those who rejoice. We mourn with those who mourn. We share. There's a sharing of what they're going through. There's this oneness, even in the same way that God does that with us. We do that. We are to do that with one another. Listen, this is supernatural. You know, we are just in our flesh, we're selfish. But when we come to Christ, his Spirit comes in us. We're changed. He's changing us. And now we're going from selfish people to be selfless. Remember what they were doing there in the first century? What we heard early on in the book of Acts? It says that people were coming and they were selling their property and they were laying the money at the proceeds at the feet of the disciples. And they were saying, hey, the apostles are saying they want everybody in the church to make sure that everybody was taken care of, because they had enough. I mean, think about that. That's pretty selfless. I mean, I can't see myself. I'm not there. You know, I mean, but that's evidence of Jesus, isn't it? That's how he is. He gave everything up. He gave up heaven to step down here. When you get there, we'll realize it. Why would you ever want to leave there? If you know, but he stepped down and he humbled himself and became as a man. God became as a man. And he walked to the cross. But this is an important, this idea, it's a birthmark of a Christian. It speaks to the idea that this is a real thing that's happening. When I turn from being my selfish person, and I'm not saying we've arrived yet, but I'm not as selfish as I used to be. And that's good news. And that means I'm looking more like Jesus as I walk with him. He rubs off on us. But they sent relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. And I want you to see that they determined to do it in verse 29, and then they followed through in verse 30. See, their yea was yea and their nay was nay. One of the things about men, about people, is they'll say they'll do something, and a lot of times they don't, right? God's never like that. He always delivers on a promise. Now, and he desires that we would do that too, again, by the power of his Spirit. Have you seen that in yourself? Have you seen that you're not just like a cloud with no rain? You know, where, in other words, the idea is, and that's because God's changing you. That's because God is changing you from being the person you were to the person he wants you to be. And that's what it means to be a Christian. And that's not exhaustive, but it means a different person. You're different than you were before. And by the way, as time goes by, there would be people, if that's true, that people that knew you from before and after would see that. And none of us are perfect on this side of heaven, but we're walking down this road. And so being a Christian, it's more than just a word. It's more than just identifying with a political party or something like that, or even, I don't know, being in a certain club. It's more than just that you prayed a prayer. And I know that's how it can start for, it's how it starts for people, but it's a change of life. It's Jesus said, you and me and I and you, you're sharing the life of Christ. It's something very supernatural, but nevertheless, it's real. And so point number one, if you're a Christian, that means you believed and you've turned. And then point number two is that you're continuing in the faith. It's a daily, day by day. We're going to fall. A righteous man falls down seven times and gets back up. A Christian is one who has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. A Christian is one who should be a student of the word. And a Christian is one who takes care of one another. Now, again, I want you to see that first and foremost, he's talking about the body of Christ, each other. And then there's the world. We reach out to a lost and dying world. But by and large, as we look in the, and I want you to see this as you go through the Bible, that by and large, the first thing, especially in the book of Acts, he's talking about taking care of one another, the brethren. And then, you know, you take it out beyond that. So, are you a Christian? And there aren't any perfect ones walking around. There aren't any perfect Christians. We're all being transformed by the renewing of our minds. But I want you to know that there's a design for why you're the reason you're still here. You have a purpose. And your purpose, yes, is to tell others about Jesus, but really what's happening is you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as a result of this transforming, you're just going to tell other people. They're going to see it, and you're going to tell them about what happened to you, how you were transformed or are being transformed.
Today's message on Anchored in the Word is part of a larger series covering the book of Acts. Pastor Bill has been walking with us verse by verse through the history of the early church, sharing the struggles they faced along with their triumphs. He's also been emphasizing the one thing that held them together through it all, and what continues to do so for the church today, the Holy Spirit. Jesus' words as he departed the world were to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. That's exactly what the apostles did. They waited, but then jumped right into ministry as soon as they received this promised gift. Have you received the Holy Spirit? He's part of the package of salvation, a gift from Jesus, when you accept forgiveness for your sins. The Holy Spirit dwells in each person, guiding their steps and whispering truth and love in their soul. If you've yet to make this decision, we'd love to talk with you and answer any questions you may have. Our phone number here at Anchored in the Word is 732-544-2225. That number again is 732-544-2225. We'd like to encourage you to get involved in a local church as well. And if you're in the Eatontown area, we invite you to make Calvary Chapel Coastlands that place. Find service times and directions through our website, anchoredintheword.com. Thanks for tuning in today. We pray that you remain moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.